Welcome to the HSP podcast. I'm Julie Bieland. I'm a psychotherapist specializing in high sensitivity and the founder of the Sensitive Empowerment Community. I'm starting a grassroots movement to create a paradigm shift that values and honors sensitivity and all of its gifts needed in the world. I invite you to join my Sensitive Empowerment Community and explore all my resources created for highly sensitive people, including my free masterclasses, especially my masterclass about high sensitivity and anxiety. You can also get a letter to give medical and mental health practitioners about high sensitivity so that they have the information they need about you to prevent misdiagnosis and just to know how to best give you the right kind of care that you need. Plus, you'll find multiple resources that teach you how to balance and honor your sensitive nervous system, understand your incredible value, love who you are, and empower you to bloom in your highest potential. My entire website is dedicated to HSPs. You can explore all of these essential resources, join my Sensitive Empowerment Community, and register for my free masterclasses at juliebieland.com or sensitiveconnection.com. I hope you've been exploring all the episodes of the HSP podcast, and please share them to help support other sensitive people. I hope you enjoy the following episode. Welcome, everyone. I'm Julie Bieland, and I'm a psychotherapist and the founder of the Sensitive Empowerment Community, and we are recording live within that community right now. And our special guest today is Jody Amon. And the topic is why self-care isn't cutting it during this pandemic, which is, I think, is going to be a very good topic. Jody is a family therapist for over 20 years and empowers people to become their own healer. I love that, Jody. As an anxiety survivor and a mom of teens, Jody totally gets it. Her TEDx Wilmington talk, Calm Anxious Kids, and her new book, Anxiety, I'm So Done With You, are changing the way we understand the current mental health crisis. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie. I've been really excited about this interview coming up.
Yes, I'm excited to have you. I saw your TED Talk and it was excellent. I think you have such great stuff to share. I actually took notes when I was watching it. So tell me what, you know, I think that this is such an important topic right now. We're in the midst of the pandemic. It's actually worse than it's ever been. And it's so interesting because we planned this a while ago, but we're actually in a place now where we really need to hear something like this. So I'm so glad that you're bringing this topic up. So
especially after last week. Yeah. For sensitive people, last week was a difficult week, right?
Yes, it was very, very much so. And I love having HSPs on to talk about what they specialize in and how did you even get into what you do?
Well, so I've been a psychotherapist since I was 23 years old. So I've been doing this for a really long time. But not that, I guess you'll have to guess how old I am now, but I love it. When I was in high school, I wanted to be an architect, actually. I love physical space. It's still a hobby of mine to decorate, but I started to volunteer when I was in high school, and I felt like the connection to other people and helping them transition or seeing their lives and that presence that you could have with somebody and how healing that presence is really changed what I wanted to do with my life. Before I was a senior in high school, I decided I wanted to go into social work, and I went all through the 6 years. And I've never looked back. I love every day of what I do, just really witnessing people find their own awesomeness. You know, I think that people are so incredible. They're just so incredible. They're so resilient. They have so many skills, so many abilities, but with all the things going on in their lives and all the experiences they have, you know, it clouds their view of those things. And so bearing witness has been such an honor for me. So it was probably my own crisis, right? My own difficulty, my own chaos growing up, and that need for somebody to see me and understand me, and feeling, you know, that connection when I understood somebody else. I think that led me here, definitely.
That's so beautiful. That's my favorite conversation with someone too, because I mean, that's where I come from too. We both had anxiety, and the way that you live with anxiety and the way that when you can heal from anxiety, I mean, it's like, it's just opposite ways of living. and to be able to, you know, you've lived that in your own experience. And that's pretty amazing that you now are bringing that into helping people. And I've always said that all along, HSPs have so much to offer and so much to give, especially when you're coming from your own background of healing and then going and bringing that into your healing of others. I mean, that's, you can't beat that. That's amazing.
It's like the wounded healer archetype. And there's nobody more perfect to land here on this earth as a wounded healer, as a highly sensitive person, because we have to go through our own, you know, figuring out how to care for ourselves in a world that's so chaotic. And then I think we have that sensitivity so we could learn that. So then we could, you know, help rise up the greater good. But you probably see, like, sometimes we get stuck in that sensitivity and shut ourselves off from it as a way to protect ourselves. And so I teach people how not to have to do that and actually feel supported despite everything going on. And some of it's about beliefs and understandings about yourself and what, how to interact with it. And then a lot of it's self-care. So that's what we're talking about today.
Yes, I love it. And I think that's so important, talking about it in terms of the pandemic. And because I know that there's some people that are really suffering a lot right now and needing some extra tools. There's some people that have tools that are helping, but this is like, you know, we've never been through something like this before, and it's everywhere. I mean, everybody's impacted by this globally, including therapists. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to talk about it from different kinds of perspectives is so helpful. What do you think what do you want to teach today about how we can really take care of ourselves through this?
Sure. So what I started to notice early on with my clients is that they had in my audience is that they had been doing self-care things all day long. And despite the fact that they were doing them all the day long, they still felt depleted. So I said, well, I need to really spread the message here, because, you know, I like to think about it as bandwidth. Like emotional bandwidth. And as highly sensitive people, we have a compromise to our bandwidth in the first place because we're so sensitive to the fear in the field. Yes, there is a lot of fear like in the field right now. And so we're feeling this collective trauma and this collective fear. And so we have some compromise to that emotional bandwidth from the get-go. But on top of it, then we have all the personal stuff that affects us during the pandemic, all the financial and the differences of our lives and the differences in our schedules, and then watching our family struggle. And I think what's important to realize is what is compromising the bandwidth the most so that you could focus on self-care there. Because you could take baths and they might help you, or you could polish your nails, or you could listen to music. But if you're constantly depleted, maybe you're not looking at what is compromising that as much and seeing if there's something you could do there. So I think it's really more important to understand there's a lot of different ways of self-care, and some don't increase your bandwidth enough, but also we need to stop compromising our bandwidth. And so I think that's
like
an important topic.
I really like that you're referring to it as bandwidth and what's compromising it the most, because that's like, if you can do the chunk of like, oh, this 75% of it is from this, then that's where I can tackle it first. I like that.
Exactly. So if you kind of take an assessment about who, sometimes there's some people that are taking a lot of the bandwidth in your life. And sometimes it's, watching the election, let's say, like that would take a lot of bandwidth because of the conflict between people that you love are thinking things that you're like, how are people thinking this stuff? Like the cognitive dissonance is quite disturbing. The cognitive dissonance, when people believe like conspiracies and those kind of things, that comes from a fear. So as sensitive people, we're feeling people's fear, and then we're feeling people's anger and that victimhood that they feel. that when they're upset about the conspiracies, we're feeling all that, but it's not helping them. It's not helping us, right? So how do we block that? And what I've noticed the most, and I don't know what is most your message to your community, Julie, but what I noticed the most is that sensitive people think that they take that on, and it's just like a truth about them and their lives, that I just take that energy on, so I have to. But that creates a belief that you can't do anything different but take that energy in.
Yes.
And when highly sensitive people, they get that validation, like, oh, I thought I was crazy. Other people are like me. And thank goodness I know what I am, and I'm part of something. I'm a highly sensitive person. This is why. And it helps them understand everything. But then they're like, well, this is my life now. You know, they accept then the limits and don't see that, okay, you don't have to take this on, right? I'm a highly sensitive person for a long time in my life. I took it all on until I realized now I sit with people who've been through unspeakable trauma all the time. And I, you know, walking through public places, I know that I don't have to take it in. And that is a shield to me more than anything else. There's so much to say. I think we could talk for a couple hours here.
Yeah. I like that concept of it being a shield, just the knowledge that you don't have to. I think I've been working with HSPs for so many years, and I, even myself, that it's like, before I understood this trait and that I could have tools, I did think that that was my default setting. I was just going to be that anxious all the time. I didn't even know what it would be like not to be. And I know that there's so many HSPs out there like that, that don't even realize that we can have some control over that, that we can shift that. Such an important topic.
So the belief for highly sensitive people, I think, makes a huge difference. And so if you... So I do the meditations with people when they're just growing this light inside of them. Now, if you thought of yourself, sometimes highly sensitive people think I'm a light in the world, which is so true, right? You're just a beautiful empathic person. You're light in the world and people are attracted to you. You know, you get all the sad people. They come to us. We're a beacon. But I like to switch around that thinking and think that what if you radiated your light out so much and the vectors of light went so far out this way that nothing could come at you, like nothing negative could come in? What if you started to do that visualization instead of thinking I'm a beacon and people get sucked to me and then their claws in me? What if you thought of it as a radiating out so much so you could still give the good? Because we want to be good. We want to give our good. We want to help other people. We do. And so what if you could give the good, but it is so powerfully going out that nothing comes back at you?
Wow. I love that idea and that just a visualization of that too. And that we don't have to sacrifice our lives.
No, you don't. You don't. And actually, when you do that, you actually have more power to help more people instead of less. You know, when we run out of emotional bandwidth, we have less. And so some of the things I do to increase my emotional bandwidth, and, you know, I have notes here and I'm just going off script, but I do spend a lot of time in nature. I have rocks, literally have my bare feet on rocks under my desk every day.
Oh, that's neat.
I have lots of plants in my house. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, just put the feet on the, I do a lot of walking outside. I have a lot of house plants in my house. So there's two things I thought I'd talk about today. One is setting up structure to support your physical body, all your bodies, really, like your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, your spiritual body. And then this is what I haven't mentioned yet, but what is the thing that's affecting most of our bandwidth right now is isolation. And that's what people are not necessarily understanding about the pandemic. They think, oh, there's so many losses. And so here we are experiencing all these losses. And yes, there is fear coming up about all the losses. And there's a lot of fear coming up about all the political fighting. Definitely there's that in the field and we're feeling that. But the isolation is, we're not realizing that isolation decreases our bandwidth like exponentially. It's a huge problem. And for people who are sensitive, that's our default. Sorry, I hit the mic. Our default is to pull back to protect ourselves. But when we go into isolation, we are compromising ourselves more.
And oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. Tell us more about that.
Okay. So if you think about it, like, we've heard of the term dopamine, that's a neurotransmitter mm-hmm. in our brain. And when we do something fun, the dopamine goes off in our brain, something mm-hmm. interesting, something fun, something exciting, the dopamine goes off. And so when we're isolated, first, there's a couple things that happen. One is when we're negative in our mind and we don't have anyone to pull us out of that, we tumble into the negative. So when we're alone, we tumble into the negative mm-hmm. because our mind has evolved for 2 million years to solve problems. And when we're isolated, there's no problems to solve. We're kind of in our, and so we, our mind wants to solve problems. So it kind of starts to make up these negative things. Like, oh no, my life is not great. I didn't do what I was supposed to. I'm, you know, all this stuff. Like, I'm lazy. Whatever you're saying about yourself, it just tumbles around because our mind wants to solve a problem, but we create these problems that are unsolvable. I'm a loser. And so we have that going on, that negativity and the isolation, but then also our dopamine's not going off. And the less dopamine that goes off, this is what I've noticed happening with all my clients during the pandemic. When we have less dopamine go, especially people living alone, if they don't want it again. So when we do something pleasurable and the dopamine goes off, we're like, let me do that again, right? We want to do it again. And so that we do it again and the dopamine goes off again. If the dopamine doesn't go off for a while, we start not caring about doing anything interesting. Nothing interests us. Our motivation goes down. We don't care. And so that's what was starting to happen, but people don't realize what that is, that they're not charged up. Like, our minds want to do something. We want some charge. We need some novelty and we need inspiration. We want to learn something new. Like, we need a challenge. And when we don't have that, our dopamine doesn't go off and we just get really uninterested. And then we start to judge ourselves on all kinds of things. And there we go, you know, down the rabbit hole. So there's so many consequences to isolate. We're social beings. We're supposed to be around people.
Yeah.
So when we're isolated, we're negative. Our anxiety goes up because we don't trust ourselves. And then our dopamine, and then we have no motivation. So it's really hard to then go do something.
Yeah, the lack of motivation starts happening. I see that in my son sometimes. He's 17 today, actually. And, you know, he hasn't been in school this entire year where we are. So, and many of his friends aren't allowed to, you know, go out and do stuff. So it's like trying to find what can he do that's going to be safe. It's almost like a little bit of fuel. I can see it in him. If he stayed home a little too long, I'll be like, hey, let's go for a hike. Let's go out and do something where even just choosing a different hike that we've never been on before is a little shot of that dopamine because it's something extra. And we're both high sensation seekers. And in addition to being HSPs, so we need to have something that gives us that little bit of fuel, a little bit of light, yes. Like lights you up a bit, right?
We need some novelty.
Yes.
Novelty. Yeah. Hiking yes. different places. My kids did a mural on the side of our shed, you know, whatever we could, we did different board games every night in the beginning. So we're always trying to look at, people are doing projects inside their house, doing house projects. Yeah. This is kind of our natural way to be like, we want to solve a problem. We want to learn something. We want to create something. This charges us up. It keeps us feeling happy. And when we're not doing that stuff, we do get lost in some negativity. And then we think it's a character flaw, when it's absolutely biological, it's human, it's regular, you know, so then we get lost in all that negative self-judgment. That's just depleting our bandwidth right there.
And that's actually, that negative self-judgment is a big chunk of the bandwidth, isn't it? That's huge. I was just thinking about this the other day because I used to have so much negative self-judgment before I did my internal work. And I was thinking about like how much extra I have now that isn't being thrown out into negative judgment and worrying what people think about me and just getting that energy back. I mean, that has been life changing.
Yeah, it's really like we don't want to expend that. We don't have to. We don't deserve it. You know, that none of it's really real. That's really coming from, you know, we really want a project. We want something creative. When we're creative, we're using that problem solving part of the brain. Creativity is problem solving. I know the word problem solving has the word problem in it, but you know what I mean. It's like you have to, if you're trying to clean out a closet, you have to figure out, do I put these on the shelf? Do I get rid of them? Do I throw them out? How do I arrange it? You know, you're making decisions like that. And this is what our brain has evolved to do, is to make these decisions. And so especially in the beginning in quarantine, and then going, looking maybe back at some closures now, because the numbers are increasing. We really need to have something for ourselves to avoid that chart that, and we think, oh, more work, then that's going to deplete us more. And it's quite the opposite. You know, we feel accomplished, we feel productive, but it wasn't really a problem. You know, the dirty closet, sort of a problem, and it feels fantastic to have it clean, but you know, but it's lighter. It's not so stressful for you.
Yeah, I found HSPs especially really need to do things that are creative, and yet creativity is one of the first things to go when we're actually stressed. But it's always the first thing to come back too. I've noticed, like in clients, if I have clients coming in, they'll be like, oh, I started painting again. And then I'll just be like, yes, okay, that's a good thing. That's a good sign. You know, whatever it is, in some sort of creativity, it's like it has to be a part of us and our experience, and figuring out what that amount of stimulation level is. Because I know for a lot of us, like for me, I'm very high up on my sensitivity scale. So I've always had to figure out what is the amount that's enough, but not too much, you know, too much stimulation, not enough stimulation. Even Cecilia is agreeing. She's also she's been missing novelty and is also an HSS. Yep.
Yeah. So if you have some kind of creativity, but creativity could be fun, it could be joyous, it could be beautiful. You know, we love that aesthetic beauty is really good for our souls too. It's really nourishing. And so if you had, it also pulls you out of, you know, your reptilian brain. When you're highly sensitive, your reptilian brain really has a lot of power, right? The anxiety is really high. You're just sensitive to noise, to people, to energy. And so you really want to pull yourself out into the prefrontal cortex of your brain that's behind your forehead. So I'm pointing to my forehead. If you're watching my video, if you're listening, I'm pointing to my forehead. So, you know, if we pull ourselves out into the mammalian brain, this could really help calm our anxiety. So creativity is essential for emotional well-being, and it's fun. So make something, you know, and in creativity, you know, you don't have to be a craft. It could be fixing something. It could be creating a schedule of something. It could be, I mean, there's so many different things that you could do with your creativity. So it's, you shouldn't leave it out of your
day. Bridget says new recipes.
Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's definitely, my partner is a chef and has been spending a lot of time just creating these new, like, things, you know, food we've never had before mixed together, and different flavors we've never had before. And so it's very interesting.
Yeah. So intuitively, a lot of people know what they need during this time. You could just, you know, if you're on social media, you do have seen that there's a lot of people got into baking and cooking different things that they hadn't done. So intuitively, people are doing more creative things. People are creating, you know, obstacle courses in their backyard, and people are going to all different places to hike. So you see that people, even if they didn't learn that, they know from their feelings in their heart, this is what I need. I need something different. I need to do something. I need to feel productive. I need to, you know, feel like I matter.
How did you learn to do that? Like just the separating of energy, even knowing that that's something that needs to be done. So I think a lot of HSPs, we don't even necessarily recognize that, like when we're going out into, you know, what you're talking about, just this, this energy field around us, and we're impacted by everything that's going on around us. How did you even become aware of that? And what did you find is helpful to teach HSPs about that?
Well, I had a mentor, you know, when I started, actually still work with her. She's like in her high 80s, love her. So I've been working with her for 20 years. But when she taught me in the beginning, this guided meditation where I'm in an igloo. And so I'm in an igloo, and it's warm, beautiful light in there, just the healing white light in there.
Oh, I like it.
I could visualize that. And on the outside, the igloo's mirrors. So anything that's trying to come at me, anything negative is trying to come at me, just reflects right off and can't come in. Oh, but wow. I translated this into that they're like two-way mirrors. Because when I was in social work school and I was practicing therapy, we used two-way mirrors to study the craft, right? We watched people through the two-way mirror. But so I could, so this worked for me. I was like, I still wanted to radiate out that light. I still wanted to do good in the world, but then the outside were mirrors. And so nobody could come and do this. So I did this around my car before I drove, around my bed, around the house, around myself before I went to work, all these kind of things. And then I really realized that. And when I started reading a lot of material, because highly sensitive people, information is pretty new coming out, right? To be something that to now be a lot of literature and being talked about. And so when I started reading about that, I'm like, oh, they need this. They need to see like the difference between taking it all in and believing you don't have to. And the visual was a way for me to transform that belief that I didn't have to take it in. And that doesn't mean I'm not empathic or I don't understand people or I don't feel it or I don't cry. I mean, I'm human. And so I feel all of those things, but I don't have to take on anything I don't choose to.
That's so really I also, powerful.
Thank you. I also teach people how to develop their intuition and what I help people do, because clairsentience is when you feel that, right? So when you feel something that's like in the field, you're with somebody and you're like, they're sad today. You know that. And so I help people transfer that clairsentience to claircognizance. And so they feel that, but immediately they so it's like the reptilian brain going up to the mammalian brain. They translate it into clear knowing, okay, that person's having a hard day, or stay away from that person, or that person's dangerous, or whatever's coming through. And then you don't have to feel it anymore.
You like know, the feeling really is not helpful. That's so powerful that you're talking about this. Cause I mean, I think a lot of us don't realize necessarily that we have that choice. And I see people in the community are excited too. It's like, I can take it in, but I don't have to.
Loving
the igloo imagery too.
Yeah, you have the power. So if you're interacting with someone, you're like, ooh, whoa. Then you're like, you transfer it into the knowledge that it gives you so that you can actually do something, which is might be go away from that person, might be say something nice to them. It might be help them pick up the thing they just dropped because they need, you know, hold the door open. Or it could be like, stay away. Whatever the claircognizance comes in is so much more important. I was working with a client who's so highly sensitive, and she just is learning about it because we just started working together, and she always cries at funerals. And so I was teaching her, and we're practicing ahead of time the next one, how to transfer that into claircognizance so she could actually do something. It's not helping the people to feel it. Right? If it's like a colleague's mother, say, that you're going to the funeral for, she could cry for hours about it because she feels everybody's energy. But what if she just had that knowledge and then could say, oh, this person needs a hug or something like that, or, you know, they need kind words or send them some white light around them, like bring your light up in yourself and send them the white. So you could take action from that claircognizance. And it doesn't affect you as much. And I think, you know, because I'm a healer and because I work with people all the time, like I go to the action, right? I go to claircognizance and go to the action. So at the end of the day, plus I'm listening for people's resilience. And yeah. So I'm so inspired by people's resilience that I don't get pushed down by the horrible things that they've experienced.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's really a good point right there. And I think so many HSPs are healers, caretakers, and you're right that if we are completely losing ourselves, we aren't helping anybody. So right. To be able to do that, it's almost like a filter to go through mm-hmm. that. It's similar to what I talk about, this like the emotional brain, the cognitive brain, filtering through the cognitive brain. So you're filtering through. Yeah. And Becca's asking, what is claircognizance?
That's clear knowing. So there's clairs, which is like in your intuition. So you could hear clairsentience, but you could feel what other people are feeling. Claircognizance is you know things that you wouldn't ordinarily know in the world. So if you're talking to someone and all of a sudden you hear, you just know, you just have a knowing that they are tired or hungry or having a bad day. You know, I mean, usually you feel that, but sometimes you just have the knowing of it. That's claircognizance. Mm-hmm. Then you could be clairvoyant. That's you see things, or clairaudient, and you could hear, you know, things. And so those are, but the clairsentience and claircognizance are ones that, you know, I participate in more because it's really helpful in the healing process.
Yeah. It's really, you're resonating a lot. Like Mel says, you. Jody, your words are resonating so deeply with me. Wonderful. And Cecilia has a question. She says, I react very quickly and emotionally to situations. How do I learn to pause that so I can then choose not to take it in? Sometimes it happens automatically.
That's great. So this is something you could teach yourself, because it's about taking a psychic step back. So in your mind, you know, when we're close to the energy of the emotions of it, we're very close to the experience. So if something happens to us, we're in the chaos of happening and we're like, oh, caught up in the emotions of it. But when we, you know, validate ourselves, it usually have to validate yourselves first. I go through a three-step process with people, what to do when they come up with difficulty. The first one is validation. And then you take a step back in your mind. So it's like metaphorically, it's like you're going up the hill. And you could kind of see the situation from a distance. I could see little Jody, and I see the other people and all the players, and I could see the scene playing out. And from that distance, I have a whole new perspective. I'm out of the emotions of it, and I could really get a deeper understanding, not only of what I'm doing and my response, but also with the other people, what's going on for them in their life. Because when people are mean, it's not because they don't like you. It's because they don't like themselves. But you can't see that when they're attacking you. It's so much easier if you take that psychic step back. Mm-hmm. And so this is what you would want to teach yourself, Cecilia, is how to be like, really validate whatever you feel. As soon as you feel it, be like, oh, I get it. And then you kind of imagine yourself kind of going up that hill and looking at it from above the battleground. And then you say, what's happening? And from there, I actually, in workshops, take people through this process, and they think of an experience, pull themselves back outside of it, and they're surprised. So you could do this at home right now after we're done, so you could listen to the rest of our talk here. But you'll see right away the huge difference. And in counseling all the time, I'm inviting people to that witnessing state. And when you invite people to that witnessing state, that's where the healing happens. It's called a stream of consciousness. It's Russell Mears is a memory theorist. And that's the highest form of memory, is that stream of consciousness. And that's when we become a witness to ourselves. That's why mindfulness is so healing, right? Because we're a witness to ourselves. That's why there's something that's happening in the brain. And so and as a counselor, I'm always inviting people to that space. And it's going to change your whole life, Cecilia. You're going to love it.
That witness state, that's such a powerful state, because you're not drowning with them. You know, you're witnessing it, which is such an important thing for healers and for HSPs to learn how to do. And a lot of, there's actually a lot of brain research around this too. That's like, as soon as you become aware of something cognitively, you've already, sort of change the impact of it by 50%. Instantly you change it so that you are taking that step back. I like that the way you described it, a psychic step back.
Yeah, it's like in your mind, right? You're just kind of like pulling yourself back out of the energy of it. And it's really powerful.
That is really powerful. And everybody in the community is saying that they're finding this very helpful. Yes,
good.
I love
it. So happy. I'm so happy that I'm helping.
Yeah. Sarah B saying, I was feeling engulfed in others' struggles.
Exactly. That's exactly the word I'd use. I'd say enveloped. Like, you know, you're enveloped by the chaos of it. Yeah, exactly. Engulfed. And so when you pull yourself out of it, it you'll feel it so totally. It'll be amazing.
Yeah. Oh, this is really good stuff. What else do you think is important to teach HSPs listening?
I was going to talk about physical space. It might feel like coming off the subject we're talking about, but you know, a lot of times when I'm talking to people and something's really draining them, sometimes you could create some kind of structure either around the schedule or around the space to eliminate that drain. So like for me, I have the rocks right under my feet, so that makes it easier. Or I have the, you know, you have your pens close to you, so you don't have to keep getting up to get a pen. Those kind of, and those are simple examples, but you know, if we're working at home, we don't have a really good space with everything around that's easy. We keep getting up and getting up and getting up. I mean, that's why I'm using that as an example. If everything's in one place, then you never lose your plug. You know, I was moving around the house to wherever it was free, and I never had my plug. My thing was done. You know, my battery was dying. And so creating a structure sometimes for that creative activity so that you could just sit down and go back to it, or something that will help support the self-care is so amazing and so important. I think it's so overlooked in our lives, especially now.
I love the idea of rocks at your feet. That is really neat. It feels so grounding to imagine just having your feet on the rocks.
Yeah.
And Diane saying
they're like
flowers.
This big. Yeah. Fresh flowers are, I'll just show you my sunroom here. So can you see all my plants? In the,
yeah. We have like so many plants too.
50 plants in my room. I love it.
We're supposed to be connected to nature in this way. I mean, it is incredibly healing I often talk about this, just the idea of spending time with the beauty of a leaf. Like I'm growing, I have a little patio garden, and there's these beautiful red Swiss chard that have the most amazing color. Like I was like, oh my God, look how beautiful this is. I was just taking time with it because it was just stunning.
Oh, gorgeous. It's just leaves are gorgeous. I mean, mm-hmm. I just can't, it's, we just don't stop and look, but when we stop and look, like everything calms, we get to focus.
We're meant to.
And we're always scattered with all these things. And when we come down, especially if we're air, a lot of air energy, you know, this anxiety is like really air energy bubbling up, all this stuff. And we really need to like tether somewhere, mm-hmm. Ground ourselves or root ourselves in the earth. It makes so much difference when we have sensitivities and anxieties.
Oh, definitely. I like some of the members in our community are saying, so this is, I have a little Zen meditation corner. Sarah's adding lots of house plants for the winter. Robbie has an altar where they meditate.
That's wonderful. Inspiring.
Wonderful. I love that, guys.
Yeah. I like having altars for a couple different things. I have one for each project. I have my book altar. It's upstairs. So you don't see it down here, but my book just came out this summer. So I have a whole altar to that book launch. I say this summer, like it just happened. I don't know. Time is just flying. It's like so late fall now. And I'm still thinking that summer just happened.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your book.
It's a book for teenagers. It's called Anxiety, I Am So Done With You. It's a teen's guide to ditching toxic stress and hardwiring your brain for happiness. And a lot of parents and educators and therapists are reading it, actually, maybe more than teens. It is written for teens, so it has that kind of language. It's a lot of fun. And it's like everything that you need. We talk about being sensitive because these teenagers are sensitive, but they don't understand that sensitivity. And so again, they're looking at it all as character flaws. They don't understand the influence of our culture on them, and they think of all of their problems as their own character flaws. And so I really take down a lot of books and a lot of things on anxiety, try to help you calm once you're anxious. I take down the power of anxiety in the first place. And so I think that's there's an important place for this work. So if you're a therapist, if you're a teacher, if you're a parent, if you're a teenager or you have teenagers in your life, thank you so much, Bridget. Bridget said, congratulations.
Yeah, I love it. Anxiety, I'm so done with you. Can you read the bottom title again?
Sure. A Teen's Guide to Ditching Toxic Stress, and Hardwiring Your Brain for Happiness. So I give all of those, the research on happiness and how to bring happiness on into our life, like how to get rid of the toxic stress and how to bring the happiness in. And so for highly sensitive people, like y'all want to get this book. The information is pertinent for all ages. I just speak to a teenager. I do have this is kind of my adult book. And actually before the teenage book came out, people over 13 have read this book too.
What's that one called?
It's called You Won, Anxiety zero.
Oh, win your life back.
Yeah, win your life back from fear and panic.
Oh, wonderful.
And so because I worked with people with trauma, a lot of highly sensitive people have had trauma in their past.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of examples on recovering your brain and your emotions and your body from trauma in here, but really helps you with anxiety.
Oh, I love
that. Is a weird thing because we call it so many different things. You know,
this is so important to have you as an HSP therapist talking about anxiety and something for teenagers. I mean, I think this is so needed. I'm going to put the links to everything too, so that everybody can find you, all the amazing stuff that you're doing. Can people find you and what will they find?
Well, my website's jodiaman.com, JodiAman.com. And so you could find my books. I have a lot of online programs. I'm about to launch a program for parents and educators to how to support teenagers right now. And I always have, I have a therapy group for therapists, and I always teach intuition as well. I work with people.
Fantastic.
So I have a lot of little classes. I just have over 200 YouTube videos out there for free. So I have more than you could digest.
Wow. I love that because you're so passionate about this and you're going to help so many people. I hope you're on my HSP practitioners directory too. So people can find you on that. And if you're not, let's get you on it.
Okay.
I love to have my guests on that. Because I want people to find you. I want parents and anybody that's has anxious teenagers, which I know there's so many out there, especially right now, to find you and work with you. I could ask Jody. You mentioned you have a mentor.
I call her a mentor because how does that role differ from a therapist, she's asking. So I call her a mentor because she wasn't a therapist. She's actually an energy healer and I met her a long time ago. So she really helped me develop my intuition when I'm working with people and do the practices I needed to do to learn that and keep my energy good, especially because I was such a sensitive person. So she taught me those kind of tools. So she wasn't a therapist, actually. So it's almost like a practitioner supporting another practitioner being a practitioner. That's why I called her a mentor, if that makes sense.
And how powerful that you did it, that you went and found somebody like that to mentor you at that time. And let that just be an example of how wonderful it is when you actually do advocate for yourself like that to learn these tools, to be able to thrive. And now you are paying it forward.
Exactly. So I mentor other therapists or other practitioners myself, you know, so I have clients, but I also mentor them. Other people might call that coaching, whatever, but it's like, how do you keep yourself while you're bringing your body of work through? You know, while you're doing this work, like how do you support yourself in this process? Because we're still humans here.
Yeah.
And so we really have to take care of ourselves. So
I love that. I love hearing about practitioners talking about this side of things. And Diane says something, I always feel so understood during these talks. Isn't that beautiful? Because we need, I'm so glad that we're having these talks with people like you, Jody. I mean, I think you're such a wonderful example of sensitive empowerment. You know, you've taken the struggles that you had in the past and you've turned them into gifts that are now helping people. And this is my mission with sensitive empowerment, is I want to really show how possible this is for people to be doing, for HSPs to be lifting their vibration in the world, rising up, sharing their gifts with others, and really truly helping to heal others, having these kinds of conversations about how can we be these gifted healers and deep feelers in the world, but still protect our energy. I think you gave us such wonderful examples of that today. And is there anything else that you want to share before we say goodbye?
No, I'm so excited. I love reading all these comments that people are so appreciative. And we really do have to get this word out, because I think there's so many people hurting, like the folks on this call, who are, you know, feeling this time so fully. And I think sensitive people have never had such a huge experience, you know, in this lifetime, because we've never, you know, had a global war while we're living. And so this is a very precarious time. And we need to really get this message out, because when we heal, things change. You know, the discord and the problems that are going on that is increasing the fear in the field is this collective trauma. So if we understand it and do our own work, then we're going to heal this for everybody. And it's important for us to do that, because then there's equality and harmony and then people, you know, we'll just rise together. I think that's important.
Oh, that's beautifully said, rise together. And when we are changing our own energy, right, we are actually changing collective energy too. So
absolutely,
all the self-care that we, what was that?
We're all connected. Yeah. So when we take care of ourselves, it's not a selfish thing at all.
It's the opposite, isn't it?
It's the opposite.
Yes. We rise up and we will collectively change that energy that's around us. And we calm it. We bring in love and equality, everything that you were saying, empathy. Wow. What great stuff. I just had so much fun talking with you today. And I want to thank you for sharing yourself. And I want to encourage people to share this podcast. Go visit her website. Check out her books, her TED Talk, all of it. She's got a lot of really important messages to share. And I want to encourage you all to go check it out. And you're going to grow and evolve. And we're going to do it together. So thank you, Jody. You are a beautiful human in the world. And
you are too, Julie. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, Becca's asking, where can you find your books?
Yeah, anywhere books are sold. Everywhere. It's published traditionally. So you could even go to your local bookstore and they'll order it for you, or your library, and they'll order it for you if they don't have it. But anywhere that you like to purchase books. Some people are not Amazon people, so...
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for everything that you're doing in the world, Jody, and for displaying such beautiful sensitive empowerment, helping others, healing others. Thank you for being here. And thank you, Sensitive Empowerment Community. You always enrich our time together so much. And I just have so much fun having you guys together with us. And thank you, everyone. We hope that you will come join the Sensitive Empowerment Community. We are having such a good time together, really connecting with HSPs all over the world and doing important things, which is a big part of it is evolving and rising up our own vibration in the world. So thank you again, everybody. Take good care of yourselves out there in the world, and we'll be in touch. Bye, everybody. I hope you're taking extra good care of your beautiful, sensitive self and that you enjoyed this episode. I invite you to join my Sensitive Empowerment Community and my upcoming free masterclasses for HSPs that are being called Life Transforming. You can truly thrive to your fullest potential as a highly sensitive person when you have the right tools and support. Explore all of my resources for HSPs at juliebielen.com. or sensitiveconnection.com. I look forward to welcoming you to my community.